why do you need your friend around?
I said, no, that's not me.
A man born and raised in Waukesha. He did his first hunting and fishing right here. Now he hunts the world and cooks it up deliciously, featured as the Midwestern host of The Fowl Life on the Outdoor Channel. Joe Clayfish was raised in the Shaw.
Couple extra pounds never really.
Good evening, Wisconsin. Joel Clayfish here on Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman. It is Thursday from 7 to 8. We're in the Fishbowl, downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue, downtown Waukesha. Swing by anytime you like. Danielle
Joel.
Fairman.
Joel Clayfish.
Able co-host today. You had a crazy weekend, didn't you?
Oh, bachelorette weekend.
What did that consist of? You have to understand, I'm just old right now, and it's been years, decades, since I've been to a bachelor party or preparation for a wedding.
Well, just imagine 14 girls in a cabin with tequila and piñatas of a certain anatomy. And then
we definitely don't need to go into the details of that, but it was a good time.
It was a great time. Unfortunately, we did not get to go tubing because it decided to downpour for 6 hours.
Yeah, it rained a lot.
That ruined a lot of plans.
Over the weekend, which I'm glad that it did rain and get out of the way over the weekend. Now the grass needs to be cut. But today was, drum roll please, the opening of the deer season.
Are you okay over there?
Kara Michaud is joining us today. And Kara and I have known each other for over a decade as well. And she's very involved with women in the outdoors, but she's laughing at me because today was definitely not the opening of deer season. It was the opening of the Wisconsin goose season.
And teal.
That's right. Well, I don't have a rig, so I don't usually get out on the water. I love it, but it's a lot of rigmarole to duck.
You can get in that kayak.
Just need some waders.
Yeah.
Well,
and a dog. I feel like we both have a dog. You have two dogs. Three.
Yeah, and we have Bandit in the studio with us. So
yes,
if you ever want to come say hey to Bandit, the hunting dog.
He's just staring out the window waiting for somebody to look at him.
Watching cars go by. We had some, we were playing some goose calling video earlier, and Bandit was pretty jacked about that. Mm-hmm. Gotta say hey to my five loyal listeners, the Kennedy clan, Robin and Dan and their kids, Aiden, Owen, and there's another one whose name sounds similar to that too. You know, so
that's a loyal friend right there.
I remember her.
The other child.
Their kids are absolutely fantastic kids, and I really do like all of them, but they have Irish names, and their names sound a lot like each other. Aiden, mm-hmm. Owen and Ethan.
There you go.
I got
See?
It. Yeah.
You are and a loyal friend.
They are fantastic. So Robin Kennedy works for Opportunities Incorporated in Fort Atkinson, which is a disabilities work center. And I work for the A-Team. That makes Robin my boss. And the way I got the job was, I think she literally tackled me in a Piggly Wiggly parking lot one time. Because we work on initiatives to make sure that people with disabilities are able to have their choices and work home and life, which is awesome. But I had her talked into coming to be a guest on the radio show.
Yes.
Today, and she was kind of nervous about it. And the funny thing is, like, to have a conversation with Robin Kennedy, she's funny all the time. Like, even when she's not trying to say something funny. You know people like that?
Oh, yes.
They don't. Kara, you're just laughing. You can chip in over there. It's okay.
Listening.
Chit-chat.
But she's funny even when she doesn't think she's being funny sometimes, and she's actually great to work with. But she was super nervous about coming in and talking, because I want to do a show talking about, you know, the disabilities community and how important it is that they have opportunities in the outdoors and that they have opportunities. In fact, mm-hmm. we're setting up an A-Team adventure for Ooh. The folks in this, where we go, we literally go to Milford Hills and set these guys up with fishing rods and gear, and, you know, take folks with diverse abilities and get them to catch fish. Because
that's gonna be wonderful.
Oh, it's awesome. We did it last year and it was so fun, and it's just like fish after fish after fish. And it's just a great experience to have, and that, you know, Milford Hills is completely accommodating for us and everything, so it's really great. So
that would be awesome to have her on to talk about that.
I know, and you know what,
Robin. Dan,
Robin, you got to come on, Robin.
Come on, I need a spoon to talk to.
And you can bring Dan with you and any one of your alike name sounding children. You can bring them with you. Because they're great. And I want to talk about, you know, and just kind of talk about the climate for people with disabilities. I think.
Yeah, because not a lot of people talk about that stuff. Like, I don't have that in normal conversation day to day. So it'd be very interesting to listen and to know about.
Well, part of what I think the issue is that for some odd reason, you know, we're living in an age where everybody says it's your decision, it's your choice, you can have, you know, the world is your oyster. But for some reason, sometimes folks think that they know what's better for disabled people rather than allowing them to have their own choices. And that is something that is incredibly important to me, and it's why I work for them. It's why I work for a wheelchair company, you know, trying to give people with diverse abilities the best opportunities they can have in life. And I think, no doubt, the outdoors of Wisconsin and in this great state we live in, it gives ample opportunity to do that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So there it is. We talked for a while about our five loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc, the Kennedy clan. We say hey to them. Greg Juan Snyder, want to say hi to you as well, because I know you're always listening. So Danielle and I are going to be, you better get used to us, because we are now, the show's name is changing to Raised in Wisco. And Crute, who owns the station, he has been bugging me for a biography and a picture for a while. So we better put something together, Danielle.
Oh,
a nice
curl my hair.
Sellable. Well, I'm not telling you what to do. Whatever you want. You want to curl your hair? Go ahead. Maybe I should curl my hair. Maybe I should get a hair transplant so I have more hair for the picture.
I could get a haircut.
I could donate.
You could donate, but I do really think your extremely platinum blonde hair would look very weird on my black hair.
That would be a sight to see.
Fusion.
I'm going to bring in a wig next week. Just like, here you go.
Calvin, are you paying attention?
Yes, I am.
So Calvin was laughing uproariously at some of our dog matter.
Say it. Feces. Say it.
I'm not going to say poop on the air. I'm not doing it. But if you have a dog, you know that you run into those issues from time to time. And Calvin was laughing uproariously. And I said, well, Calvin, I'm going to start talking to you so that your mic has to be hot and you contribute to the show. Calvin, are you a hunter or a fisherman?
I am not, but I do have a 5-year-old yellow lab at home.
Aww.
Oh, you know that those animals live to hunt, right?
I know.
Retriever.
Well, if you are in need of wanting to experience the outdoors in that way, you know you have several people who come in here on a weekly basis.
Of course.
Who would be happy to take you. Do you think that's something you'd like to try?
I don't know. It's I hunted a little when I was a kid. My dad was a big duck hunter and deer hunter back in his day. So I've been exposed to it. It's not something I'm against, but I don't know. I find myself having more fun fishing than hunting.
Oh, that's great. I mean, fishing is fantastic, and I tell people, I mean, I love wild game, but I could eat fish like with every meal.
So I'm opposite. I prefer not to eat fish.
Really?
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. I go salmon fishing a lot, or used to.
Oh my gosh.
I cannot find a way to make salmon that I like. I have probably tried at least a dozen recipes of salmon.
How do you eat salmon, Cara? What's your favorite way to prep it?
Like, an easy way would be we cook it on the grill. I don't know every staple that he puts on, but a main thing is like soy sauce.
Who's he?
Peter.
I thought you maybe had some grilling, you know, guru who stops by your house. You do. You probably do have a butler. You have a pretty fancy ranch out in the countryside. I've seen it out there. It's pretty nice. Okay, to be fair, you have a sauna at your house.
Excuse
an outdoor,
me?
True. Like, standalone cedar-covered sauna. I would weigh definitely like 3.5 pounds less if I lived at Kara's house. Because there's like
a
cedar sauna, like a wood-burning sauna.
It's like the size of this room.
Where you pour the rocks. You pour the water on the rocks.
Oh, yeah.
No, she has somebody to pour water on the rocks for her.
I haven't even got to enjoy it yet because all of last year I was pregnant with Pei. And then now this year it's finally getting colder, so I'm going to try it out.
Yeah,
pretty excited.
You know, I'd like to sit here and say that sounds awesome, but as a resident fat man, I'm hot all the time. So I don't get the allure to saunas. Calvin, do you like saunas?
Well, then go in the
hot tub. I don't know if I've ever been in one.
Wow. What?
Okay. So I'm going to describe my definition of what a sauna is. And then we're going to get, and then there's a running theme here because cedar is covered in the saunas, and we're going to get back to cooking. We're going to get back to decent ways to cook the red fish like trout, salmon, those type of fish. Those are, they definitely take special care. So I'm going to explain to you what a sauna is, in my opinion. A sauna is if you were to enter the third level of hell. And the devil's
because
going to...
Because you know the first two?
No, I'm
been
just...
Been there, done that.
I'm figuring that it's a lot worse than the first two layers. Now, I think there's seven layers of hell according to Dante's Inferno, but... So, I'm probably thinking third or fourth level of hell because it's
wasn't there
basically
a temperature gauge that you can adjust it so you can get to the third and fourth level?
No, this is the real deal.
Like you pour water on the rocks.
And once it's ripping, it's not going to... You can open the windows.
Pitter patter. Oh, dang.
So you go, you voluntarily, you voluntarily say to yourself, I would like uncomfortable beads of sweat pouring from every part of my body. You step into a sauna, and just when it's horrifying, you pour water on rocks to make it more humid.
Sounds fantastic.
It's, you know, we complain incessantly in Wisconsin about those hot, humid days, and all a sauna is a hot, humid day times 10.
But you get to control it. You can walk out of that hot, humid day.
I don't think
that's what air conditioning is, Danielle. I mean, yeah.
I would love to have a sauna. That'd be fantastic.
That is why God
sweat
himself.
Sweat out everything. Oh. Sweat out all the tequila from
it
this past week.
Apparently
weekend.
Is extremely beneficial if you're sick to go sit in there and get it all out, I guess. But I haven't got to try it, so I'll let you guys know.
I mean, all right, I'm down.
Wow. Well, folks, that is certainly how you do a first segment of a radio show and talk about absolutely nothing and make no progress. But... it was fun anyway, and we'll be back on 101 FM WAUK 540 AM The Shaw with Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, our special guests tonight, Kara Michaud. We'll be right back.
Guess I knew my name.
What?
Kara.
I
don't
know. I love my country. I love my guns. I love my family. I love the way it is now. And anybody that tries to change it has to come through me. That should be all of our attitudes. Is this?
If you're going to win a muck-a-mack with me, you can ride.
Shaw, I'm your host, and Joel Clayfish, and we are changing the name of Raised in the Shaw to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, because I have a sneaking suspicion that this radio show, which is just blowing up, I think we went from 2 to 4 listeners. So we doubled our listening audience, Danielle.
Hot dog.
And I think that's a couple of your friends who were like, yeah, I'm going to listen.
Well, I think my sister is listening every single Thursday.
Perfect. Now, I do know that I hear from people.
Jessica Fairman, hello.
Hey, Jessica. Thank you for listening. You can be part of our loyal listener club. In fact, this month, every loyal listener who calls into the show gets a free brand new car. So
brand new. It could be a little toy car, a Hot Wheels car.
I didn't say what kind of car.
Or it could be.
Do you remember when you were when we were Tesla. Little, we would say, I will pay you $5.
Doll hairs?
Instead of dollars.
No.
Maybe, it still works with my 6-year-old.
Maybe that was a St. Williams joke. Over from St. William's in Waukesha, where I went to school, where the nuns actually still used corporal punishment, by the way. Ooh. And I'm going to tell you, every time I got rapped on the hands or bonked in the head with a pointer, I absolutely deserved it.
And you probably learned, maybe.
Yeah, no, I learned. I did. I didn't goof off that much.
You know how you just ask people to call in?
Yeah.
You never
I
got to
give a number. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789 will get you to WAUK 101 FM 540 AM. The Shaw. Our guest is Kara Michaud today. Raised in Wisco is the name of the show.
Yeah.
With Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman.
Oh, there we go. Yep. Sorry. Coming back around. I'm here now. Hello.
And It's going to take a minute or two for me to rejigger it in my head, okay, Danielle? Jeez. It's all right. Danielle co-hosted the show Kill It, Clean It, Cook It with me for several years, and whenever we were together, she was kind of like the boss, but, I mean, I'm used to that. My wife's kind of like the boss at home, so.
I have to be the boss somewhere.
Yeah. Danielle was saying before we went to break, she's not the hugest fan ever of salmon or like trout, the red fish. And I'll be honest, I much prefer the white fish as well. But I've been doing something with, and Kara was talking about the way they prepare it at home. Does he make it on? You said.
Sometimes we do it on the grill, or we've done it lots of different ways. Like, we've smoked it, obviously, but the grill or, like, the oven is, like, easy dinner night. Like, doesn't take a lot of time to put it all together, and it tastes really good. But brown sugar is a staple on the top for the glaze.
Ooh, see, that sounds really good. That's good. And I know, like, some of the provider spices that we were selling at the expo this last weekend, they've got, like, that sweet finish to them, and they work fantastic with fish. But I'm going to tell you, for me, I've never been a salmon fan until I figured out cooking it on the Traeger, on the smoker.
You, and, like, wrap it in tinfoil and everything, well, though?
You got to take the like, mud line off, too, underneath. On
really?
The backside, like if you peel the skin off and you take that off, that gets rid of like a lot of that like fishy taste, in my opinion. Definitely changes it.
I did not realize that because I've never done that, and mine still, it's turned out pretty good. But if you're telling me that makes it less fishy, because that's the biggest problem a lot of people have with salmon and the like, red fish is the fishy taste.
I would say like obviously a tailpiece is the better choice of meat, but there I will eat it all. I love it.
The cheekbones. I was someone yelled at me for when I was cleaning. I'm switching to walleye. Cheekbones. I'm switching to walleye right now.
I was gonna say,
I'm switching to walleye.
You mean the cheeks, not the cheekbones.
Oh yeah, not the bones. Like in the cheekbones, like
people
this.
Think
you can't tell people, but I'm slapping my cheeks right now.
Yes, ooh. Yes.
People think that when you say we're making walleye cheeks, they think you're lying, and that is an actual thing.
No, it's literally their cheek. You cut it up.
Yeah,
cheeky.
Freshwater scallops, I've heard them called.
Oh.
And they are phenomenal.
Oh, bandit.
So what I've done for salmon, and so if you want to, and the provider cookbook's got this in it too, you take a cedar plank and you soak it in water.
Yeah, that's good too.
And it's so easy. It's unbelievably easy. But I put olive oil on top of the fish first.
Okay, but when you soak it, do you like put like a hard like a bowl on top of it, or how do you get it to stay in the water, or do you just let them float?
I just float it. I've never gone that far.
I feel
in
like
depth.
I always see like someone putting something on top to keep them like submerged.
Well, the more water that the cedar plank retains, the more it's going to steam when it's cooking, which is what you want it to do, I guess.
Yeah. And I just need to know your tricks. That's all.
Well,
the sauna of yours, the cedar sauna, you can just rip the wall off.
That's the problem with saunas. They essentially are smokehouses. You probably could smoke fish in the sauna. But all I do is decide what is the flavor that I want to have that day. Bandit is joining us. Bandit the hunting dog wants to play a game of tug of war right now. But what I like to do is decide what flavor I want for that evening. If you want an Asian flavor, you can use like a teriyaki spice, something with ginger in it, some of the teriyaki. Brown sugar is a fantastic thing to put on it. But I always find if you put an acid of some sort, so balsamic
lime
vinegar,
juice,
lemon juice, lime juice, and some type of
soy sauce
is great too, but some type of sweet. With that, you coat the top of it.
Garlic.
Garlic's a must for me and everything.
Oh, everything. Definitely.
Yeah.
Like the little minced garlic in the jars.
It's so easy to use that.
Yeah, that's what we do. And then I'm remembering more things as we're talking about it.
But the bottom line is coat the fish, but put some olive oil on top of the fish, because what that will do is prevent it from drying out on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to have a smoker. You can do it right on a charcoal grill. You want to be at around 350 degrees, and it takes 13 minutes at 350 for like a 1.5-inch thick piece of redfish, and a lot of that redfish flavor is gone. You know, that fishy type of flavor is gone. Danielle, we should try it sometime. We should have you and Bill
I
over.
I have a fish in my freezer right now.
Well, let's figure out a way, because my wife didn't used to like that either, and I figured out a way to get her to like it. When we come back, we wrapped up the Wisconsin Waterfowl Expo this weekend in Oshkosh. It was fantastic. We're going to talk about that, and then we're going to get around to Women in the Outdoors with Cara and Danielle. We'll be right back. Some friends are supposed to be here, but they slept after hunting. Welcome back to Raising the Shaw. Danielle, I just did it again. You just scolded me right before we went to the break.
Listen Raised up, Joel. Joel, say it three times.
Raised it three in Wisco. Times. Raised in Wisco. Raised you said it wrong. You just
Raised
said it wrong.
Raised in Wisco. The show.
You know, you're listening to 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM. The Shaw, coming to you live every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. from the Fishbowl in downtown Waukesha, 217 Wisconsin Avenue. Swing by. Look at this. We've got new guests in the studios we're going to get to in a moment. Robin Kennedy, who we were talking about and chiding in the first segment. She's on the line.
Robin!
Can we get Robin on the air? This is going to be her first time on the air, and she's probably nervous. Robin, can you hear me? Are you there? Robin.
Rockin' Robin.
I think we're having some issues with the phone. I might have done it wrong.
Oh, well, Calvin's going to work on Robin for a minute there, but she's listed on my screen. Oh, I think she might be on the air. Are you there, Robin? Can you hear me?
I am.
Hello,
Robin. You broke through your fear of being on the radio and called us today.
Good. I did, because we're one of your five loyal fans.
Well, I think it's, Danielle said like a couple of her buddies are listening, so I think we're up to six or eight for sure.
Awesome.
But you're the first.
Awesome.
I did actually have a friend of mine call from Green Bay the other day, and he's like, there's this dude on the radio, sounds just like you. I said, yeah, that is me. So the signal does go somewhere. But Robin, you know, we talked a little bit in that first segment about the importance of making sure disabled folks, people with diverse abilities, have choices in life, because very often it kind of seems like society makes, you know, wants everybody to have decisions and choices. But when it comes to folks with diverse abilities, it's like some people think they got to make the decisions for them. And in all reality, these people should be entitled to everything that's American, which is allowing themselves the choice.
Absolutely. And that is why we started this amazing A-Team about 12 years ago, and you joined us. I just looked it up, and it was 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is. It's really all about people themselves and their family members, not other people who are not in their lives that need to be part of that choice.
Yes, and we got something pretty exciting we're working on for the Week for Choice, the National Week for Choice coming up. But why don't you preview our audience on what we got working?
Oh, we do. We're going to make this an A-Team adventure series, Joel. You know that. And we're going to go all over the country. We're going to do hunting. We're going to do rock climbing, all of that. But we're starting with the A-Team angling adventure.
Angling,
and it is going an angling, like we're fishing.
Yes. Angling,
yeah,
angling is another word for fishing. So if you don't know that out there, but I'm super jacked about that, because last year we had folks out, and I was talking a little bit about it earlier, and you know, to have an experience and to be able to do it at Milford Hills, and we really appreciate them, you know, helping us out with it. To see the look on everybody's faces when they're catching fish after fish after fish is fantastic. And there is no better way for anybody in Wisconsin, if you've got a diverse ability, if you're a family member, if you're supportive, get out there and utilize and enjoy Wisconsin's outdoors.
Oh, absolutely. That sounds very interesting.
It's going to be awesome.
So now, Robin, are you a little less fearful of coming on the air with us now?
Well, yes, but I do have to, like, sharpen up some cooking strategies.
Why Ooh. Don't you do this? Why don't you do this? One, Danielle, what do you think if she works on like one dish that she's going to talk about here? What?
I'm excited for this. Now that you know where this is going, I'm very excited.
Danielle and I love to eat. And Cara, yes. I know you love to eat too. Robin, thank you so much for calling in. We appreciate it. Please call in anytime you like. And we do so much appreciate the Kennedy clan.
All right.
Our clan of loyal listeners from Oconomowoc. Awesome. I'll take it. Keep listening.
All right. Bye.
Bye, Robin.
So I have to, it's kind of, today
she sounds amazing.
She's fantastic. Just an absolute bundle of energy, too. And never, ever stops for her attempts to make life for those with diverse abilities better. And Wisconsin is a shining example of that. So it's something that is really cool to be a part of, you know, from my perspective. And I love it. It's definitely a labor of love. So I'm going to switch gears now. This morning was the Wild Goose opener for the state of Wisconsin. Now, if you are as addicted to hunting as me, you look forward to this for the entire year. As soon as goose hunting ends, you start counting the days till it starts. And those last few days seem like they are forever. But yesterday, the day before hunting, we literally, we call it sitting on a field. Because where the geese are, especially in the early season, is so hard to find. And there's kind of only a few around by comparison. And two of my buddies, Cal Hottie and Julian Young, who hunted with me this morning. So we sat on the field yesterday, watched it all night. Several other crews rolled up. And it's kind of a, I'd say it's kind of an ethical thing when you roll up on a field that someone's already in. You tip your hat and you nod to them and say, all right, you guys got here before us. And, you know, enjoy your hunt. Have a good one. So we were a tired crew by the time sun actually rose this morning. And we had an unbelievable hunt. 13-man limit of geese this morning.
Oh, dang.
Yeah. Oh,
get
it was it. Awesome. And it was all real safe, great shooting. No arguing about decoy placement, nothing. All the shots were like 20 yards in front of our faces. Everyone got along. Maybe they got along because everyone was so tired. But Cal, Hottie, and Julian Young were supposed to be guests at the top of the hour today. And
oh, what happened, fellas?
Cal.
I am sorry. Sorry, Joel, about that.
somebody took a nappy, didn't they?
Oh yeah, we got home at around 9 o'clock and unhooked the trailer and completely passed out until about a half hour ago, however long it takes to get here. So
it is somewhat understandable because I think all of us had a combined like 3 or 4 hours sleep in the last 48 hours. But I'm jacked to have Cal on the show today because Cal is, and I'm not going to pigeonhole you with the fact that your dad is kind of famous in the industry, but your dad, Eric Hottie, is an incredibly well-known tournament angler, guide, fishing guide, very successful, very dedicated to the outdoors of Wisconsin for his whole life. And you're a young man, and you have that's in your blood too. So you,
for sure.
I mean, hunting and fishing is something that is complete, very important in your life. And I think it's, you know, it's kind of a small world, really. And the fact that we ended up getting to know each other and hunting together is pretty cool. So you were out there with us today. Talk us through that hunt from your perspective.
Well, last night at about, what time did we get there? 10:30.
Well, we were there originally at 3:30 in the afternoon, but 10:30, most folks started showing up to brush in blinds and get ready for the hunt.
Yeah, we got there around 10:30, and we started brushing in blinds, taking everything out to the middle of the field, and then brought all the decoys out there. We were just messing around, talking. Like, I don't think anyone could fall asleep because we were waiting at the field to make sure we could lock it down so that no one else would come in. And once it became time to set up the decoys, it was just picture perfect, and I don't think it could have worked out any better.
No, I really don't. I don't remember a hunt that textbook. I mean, there's always some crazy stuff going on, but the flocks were real separate from each other. We all had really safe shooting. And what's fascinating to me, and I think this is a phenomenon that's happening more and more, where especially early season, especially opening day, it's really hard to find a spot, and it's 10 times harder to find a spot that nobody else has found. So we hunted today with a new group of folks, the kids, they're Oconomowoc Oconomowoc High School?
Yeah, they go to Ocon.
Oconomowoc High School kids, and you know they were seniors in high school, youngsters, oh, wow. Really. Nice. And it's so one of the coolest things, and one of the things you have to be careful of is because there is competition out there to get fields.
For sure.
But you also want to you want to be kind to and invite new people into the sport. That is the reason mm-hmm. we do it, to proliferate the sport and to talk about the food. You know, so I thought it was great to have those kids come along with us today, and they were yeah, polite sure. and respectful and helpful. They were safe. You know, we have our safety talk ahead of time. You had even run into them ahead of that. But what'd you think about having the kids along? We combined our groups.
I think it's awesome getting people that are new to the sport out hunting, and just to be able to experience, especially hunts like that. It's because it'll last for a lifetime now.
Yeah.
For those guys, because they're not going to forget about that one.
Yeah, there was one of the kids was his first hunt, and mm-hmm. one of the coolest things to me about having this show is that I get to, you know, invite into the studio the people I have experiences with. And I always tell people, or one of my mantras in life is that life is about experiences, not things.
Oh, absolutely.
I agree.
And, you know, Danielle, you and I have had some intense, awesome experiences mm-hmm. in the woods, turkey hunting. And Kara, you and I have been along. Kara Michaud, who's here in the studio, we've hunted together for 13 years. That was like the very dawn of when I started hunting.
Dawn of the era.
And I think you were 16 at the time. Weren't you? What do you remember about that first hunt? Because you just sent me a picture of it the other day at the Waterfowl Expo.
Okay, well, that was, I think, the first time that I met you and that whole clan. And one, I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but I was just excited to go hunting. I was like, I don't know who these people all are, but they seem like a good group of guys. We'll see what happens. And literally, like, 10 minutes into being there, everyone was like, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, you're going to go here, and the geese are just going to dump in. And I'm like, okay, I don't know what's happening.
I'll believe it when I see it.
And it really happened just like that. I mean, it was a little, every morning before the hunt, there's a little bit of chaoticness, but I think it's like part of the, I guess, addiction to it, because no doubt. It's suspense before it happens, and you no don't doubt. Know when the birds are ever going to be coming, so that's like half of the battle is like, are they actually coming to this spot that we set, or are they going to go land in the field right next to us? Because that's happened to us too.
Oh yeah.
And plenty of times.
If they land in the spot next to you, that can really mess up your hunt, because if they start landing somewhere else, then the other flocks that come in are going to be decoyed definitely by real birds over your decoys. Birds are smart enough. Geese are smart enough that when they look down and they see real birds, they're definitely going to land by the real birds compared to landing by your decoys. But so I want to, so you're 16 years old. So Kara's not new to hunting. Danielle, you're not new to hunting. You guys are actually seasoned hunters now, but the fastest growing group of new hunters is women. When you were 16 years old and someone encouraged you to talk to me or go hunting with me, I don't remember how it happened, to be honest.
It was through Seth.
He
reached out to me and he said, hey, do you want to go goose hunting with us? And we're going to do a little filming and whatever. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into, but it was probably one of the most like memorable hunts I had at that age, for sure. Like we blasted so many geese so quickly. It was one actually fell on me.
Oh,
I remember
really?
That. And yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, it literally dropped on me. It didn't hurt me, but it was like a hefty Canadian goose that just fell out of the sky from us.
Oh, those are heavy little buggers too.
Yeah, they are. You got to watch it when they're coming. Every time there's a shot call where the geese are going to drop on the blinds, I'm watching out, because that's like a 12-pound bowling ball hitting you.
I mean, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So was it tough at the time? Was there apprehension on your part because you were a young woman in a sport that was fairly dominated by men at the time? Or didn't you think about that? Or how does that play into, you know, what you do now? Because you,
so,
you,
here, I'll go into it like this. At that age, certainly I had tons of like, maybe they won't think I'm good at this, or they don't know me. They're probably wondering why this young girl wants to come out here with all these guys that, whatever, might just make things a little bit nerve-wracking. And it's meeting new people, that's like a whole different ball game. But then you're also hunting, and then you're also trying to identify like who's running the show, or whatever. All those things happen, but like at the end of the day, we were all out there for the same thing. So I just kind of jumped in and tried it out with you guys, and I like had an awesome experience. But in general, I had to reach out to people to help me because I didn't have any resources like from family.
We're going to pick that up right after the break. Karma Show's in the studio. Welcome back to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, coming to you live every Thursday from 7 to 8 from the Fishbowl in downtown Waukesha. We have a rather large school in the Fishbowl. See what I did there?
Oh, Fish wow. School.
We've got Julian Young,
super
Cal Hadia, Kara Michaud, and of course, Danielle Fairman and I. And we went into break talking about, some of the... The women's role in hunting and in the hunting world has really increased in the past few years, and they're the largest growing segment of new hunters, which is I think it's fantastic because it's really an untapped market, from a hunting perspective. And I think now some companies are just starting to understand that and market clothing, apparel, gear toward men and women. But Kara, you went into the break talking about how you were kind of a scared young kid at the time. You were 16 years old, and now you are kind of an established hunter and a credibly known, hunter. Danielle, mm-hmm. You've done the same thing for yourself, where you're taken seriously as someone who uses the outdoors, utilizes the outdoors, puts that food on your table. Has it changed since you were 16 to now? Gotten definitely. Better, gotten worse?
No, definitely. As far as like my perspective, I mean, I nicely care what people think, but I also don't. Like, I'm all about learning new things, but like, I'm hunting for myself. Like, meeting new people is awesome, but it's like a passion that I want to do. It's not just like, oh, I want to go hang out with those people. That's not what it is. And there's sometimes a lot of that with the female industry is like, oh, well, she gets to go with all these people. And honestly, I do get to hunt with a lot of guys because there isn't that many females in our area. It is getting a lot more popular.
Yes.
And it is growing, and it's awesome. I've been fortunate to take lots of women out, whether it be waterfowl, turkey hunting, deer hunting. I have two daughters. I'm totally all about it. Like, that's what I live for.
You had a group of women come to Wisconsin from other states with Her Wilderness program.
Yep.
And we took them out, hunting geese. And we had a mediocrely successful, couple of outings. But they had the time of their lives. And I'm telling you, it's so cool and refreshing to see new people in the outdoors who have an instant appreciation for it.
I know there are some people that may not enjoy it. Whatever, sorry. But I will say, anybody that I have like taken out or even just got to say like, hey, did you have an interest in doing this? Would you want to come do that? I've gotten mixed reviews, but like there are girls that are like, oh, you would do that? Are you serious?
It's so sad how surprised women are actually like, wait, we can do that? I'm like, yeah, why can't we? We can do everything else together. Why not go out on the field?
Absolutely.
And have a great time.
I got connected with a lot of people just from social media, and people reach out like, hey, could we maybe like hunt sometime? And I know it sounds so simple. Sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. Mm-hmm. But like having those organizations is so key to that, because like that's an outreach. Like, go to that. Sign up for a hunt. You're going to meet people. You're going to get to go hunting. You're going to have the help that you need, because you don't just wake up and know how to hunt. My dad doesn't even hunt. Like, my mom doesn't.
My dad never.
Like,
my dad wasn't a hunter either, and I had to learn it myself.
Yep.
I remember the first time I went goose hunting, I put a circle of decoys around me, like a perfect circle, and I laid in the middle. And
bullseye. It's like a target.
Go land on the fat guy in the middle of the decoys.
Probably in khaki like a jeans.
Safe spot. Khaki, as he's snoring away.
Khaki jeans, falling asleep in the middle of a cornfield. Cal, how old are you now, Cal?
Right now, I just turned 21 You're, on the 13th.
Yeah.
Oh, so, dang. Baby. Little baby. Oh, yeah.
You do have that boyish charm about you. I will say that. What's your perspective and your take on this? I mean, you are young. You came out of high school. We've been hunting for a while already, so hunting's been something you've grown up with. But, you know, I don't want to say you're a different generation than Kara and Danielle, but you're definitely a different generation than me. Are we doing, is the state of Wisconsin, are the people who represent waterfowl hunting in the hunting industry and the hunting world, are we doing what we should to encourage women to enter the outdoors, or is there more that we should be doing to make it a more, you know, comfortable thing to approach?
I feel like there's always more that you can do. I mean, I have, to be honest with you, I haven't hunted with a lot of women, like, other than Kara and a few other people. Like, it's just, I haven't seen much interest from certain groups of people that, like, I haven't gotten a lot of messages about it like you
well,
have.
Well, it's kind of hard
people,
for, like,
yeah,
a female to, like, hey,
oh, sure,
so I don't know you, but I see you have a goose, yeah, in this picture. Can we go hunting?
Well, but see, that's...
Like, then we get, like, you know, scowled for doing that.
But that's like, the elephant in the room. There is nothing wrong with
there
that.
There is nothing
but
wrong with now society right
the
now.
The elephant in the room right now, you know, with the fact that, you know, you're talking about opposite sexes,
yeah, mm-hmm,
where there could be attractions for that sure are beyond hunting buddy. And I think that is kind of the thing, that's the overreaching thing that everybody thinks about and nobody talks about. Because a man or woman who's going to approach a man or woman on the other side and ask if they can be a part of something, I mean, do you... Danielle and Carr, do you deal with those apprehensions? Are those real things to worry about? Or do you just forge forward and say it doesn't matter? We live in a society now where we can think of things as equal and actually move forward. Or are those things that stop some people from doing it, or they're apprehensive? Or
I put it this way, like, when it comes to waterfowl or even just, okay, hunting in general, we're all using, like, the same weapons, and we're all doing the exact same thing to try to do the exact same purpose. So in that format, I would definitely say that we're equal, because we're all out there as hunters. But in the world, I definitely view our place as different, but that's just my personal beliefs. But when it comes to, like, meeting new people or getting permission or anything of that sort, my definite thing is, like, respecting whoever it is, it doesn't matter, because you're not going to have a good hunt if you are already setting up as, I know everything and I want to learn from you guys, but I'm going to come in like this arrogant female because I think I just should. Hmm. That can be tough, because people are very interested in Instagram fame and kind of the wrong views that aren't really hunting. And, like,
yeah, I mean, in the hunting world, we call them posers.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely get, like, both sides, trust me.
We need to do an entire show on this specific topic, because I think part of the thing that stops people from attempting to enjoy the outdoors is that they think maybe approaching someone to do it could be misperceived,
mm-hmm,
as a come on or something like that. And I think...
Well, see, I don't think it's more like that. I think it's more of... They're just gonna think down on us,
or like,
because, like, I've had, yeah,
do,
like, the, we actually, have to be have I our do hand held and treated with, like, utmost respect. I'm like, dude, no, I work construction and I can belch louder than you. Calm down. Like, let's do this.
You don't have to prove that right now, Danielle. I totally agree. That's how fast the show goes when it's fascinating, interesting, and fun. Kara Michaud, you're awesome. Cal Hadia, great sharing the field with you. Julian Young, great job today. Danielle Fairman, my co-host, thanks for always being there.